This is NBC Nightly News, Friday, July 13th, with John Chancellor. Reported tonight by Garrick Utley.
Good evening. Doctors said today that President Nixon is moderately ill with pneumonia. The president has been running a temperature of about 101 to 102 degrees, but his doctors at the Bethesda Naval Hospital say his condition is not getting any worse. This was one of President Nixon's last public appearances yesterday, a meeting with Henry Kissinger and West German Foreign Minister Walter Scheel. The president was already ill at the time, in fact, since 5:30 yesterday morning when he called his doctor. But Mr. Nixon insisted on keeping his appointments yesterday, including this one. Afterwards, Scheel said that the president was obviously ill during their talk. Last night, the president went to the hospital. Between his fever and pain in his right lung, the president spent a restless night last night, getting only about 4 hours sleep. Today, doctors continued their tests and treatment. Richard Valeriani reports from the Bethesda Naval Hospital.
President Nixon came to a naval hospital because he's a former Navy man. He's in the five-room presidential suite on the third floor, where he's getting inhalation treatment and chest massages to help relieve chest pains. Security around his wing at the hospital has been tightened with Marine guards outside and Secret Service men inside. Mrs. Nixon, daughter Julie, and son-in-law David Eisenhower came to visit for half an hour this afternoon, but they said nothing to newsmen. Mr. Nixon's doctors said other visitors would be limited because, as they emphasized at a news conference, they want him to rest.
The president insisted on carrying on his schedule, and we had difficulty in convincing him that he really was a sick man. He still wants to continue work at a greater pace than I would like to see him do now, but between the staff and myself, I think we'll come up with a schedule that will allow him to recover and recuperate and do some of his work.
As long as the president is here, this is where the White House is. So the press office has set up shop on the second floor. A press room has been set up nearby, and that's where the medical bulletins are handed out. President Nixon is expected to remain here for about a week. His illness has already forced him to postpone until September a meeting with Pakistani President Ali Bhutto, scheduled for next Tuesday, and it has delayed indefinitely a crucial meeting with Chairman Sam Ervin of the Senate Watergate Committee. Richard Valeriani, NBC News at Bethesda Naval Hospital.
The pneumonia has broken President Nixon's impressive health record. This is the first time he has been more than slightly ill since he entered the White House, and the first time, of course, that he's been hospitalized. There is other news this evening. In Washington, the Watergate hearings continued with White House official Richard Moore defending the president. In St. Louis, a stubborn fire continues to burn up military records. David Brinkley's journal tonight is from London about the new big spenders there, the Japanese. And we'll take a look at television's newest star. He's just 7 years old.
NBC Nightly News is brought to you by Hart's 90 Day Color, the color that conquers the flea.
Does the Hart's 90-Day Collar really work?
I suffered with itchy fleas for years, but with my Hart's 90-Day Collar, I've had nothing but blessed relief.
I had itchy fleas in these hard-to-scratch places, but the Hart's 90-Day Collar is specially treated to kill fleas wherever they hide.
Does it work for cats, too?
The Hart's 90-Day Collar works for 3 full months. Now, that's real protection against itchy fleas.
Millions of satisfied dogs and cats agree. The Hart's 90-Day Collar really works.
No matter how clean your home is, they come. Germ-carrying flies, ugly roaches, pesky ants. But they might have been stopped out here where garbage and odors attract them.
Stopped by new Shell CanCare, a proven insecticide and a deodorant to mask garbage odors. New Shell CanCare with the Good Housekeeping seal. It works up to 3 full months. Kills flies, roaches, and ants before they get into your home.
Richard Moore, special counsel to President Nixon, was the target of Moore's sharp questions today from the Senate Watergate Committee. But he continued to maintain that the president knew nothing of the involvement of key White House people in the Watergate cover-up until March 21st. And he insisted, despite Senator Ervin's best efforts, that up to that time, the president had no clues to work on. Moore said that by April 20th, he had learned enough to go to the president and tell Mr. Nixon that unless he got all the facts and acted quickly, the president would be accused of a cover-up. Here's the way Moore said he put it to the president.
The reason I wanted to see you, sir, is I've been thinking about this whole thing. You now have facts, and I said, you know, and I know, and I'm convinced the country will accept that you did not know about the cover-up. I said, but you do now. And I said, if you don't take action and get the facts quickly, then it will be you'll be accused of a cover-up of a cover-up, and that, sir, will come into this Oval Office and affect you, if now you are involved. And I said, in my other message, I wanted to see, I just hope that as you assess the facts, you'll get the benefit of outside counsel, because everybody in this building has his own relationships, his own bias, and perhaps his own involvement. And when you are assessing the legal and factual issues, please get someone from a wiser head from outside. And that was it. He thanked me and went out and got on the
job. What did he say? What did the president say to you?
He said, I understand, and thank you.
Moore said the president did see a lawyer in Key Biscayne. The lawyer, though, was not identified. It was evident from the tone of the questions today that some members of the committee were no more satisfied with Moore's answers than they were yesterday. And Moore will return for more questions on Monday. H.R. Haldeman, once the president's chief of staff, talked to committee investigators early in May. And the New York Times reported today that he told the Watergate committee staff that he had no part in planning the burglary and didn't know there was a cover-up until March of this year. Many of these disputed Watergate questions might be settled if the committee could get its hands on White House documents. The president says he won't give them up. Senator Ervin predicts he will. And Paul Duke has that story.
Chairman Ervin says there will be no backing down in the fight to get the documents. He says he is ready to vote to issue a subpoena and claims the support of the entire committee. He says the documents are necessary to determine the truth.
In fairness to everybody concerned, that any documents which are relevant to show illegal or unethical acts should be given to the committee and all of the full truths may be disclosed. I never favor conducting a hearing and excluding from consideration a part of the truth, and that would be the result of it if the documents were not presented. Furthermore, the documents would probably be more effective than testimony of witnesses because Sir Edward Coke said that one scratch of a pen is worth more than the slippery memory of many witnesses.
Ervin and the other senators are hoping a subpoena will not be necessary. They still would like the president to voluntarily turn over the documents. But if not, they are ready to go to court, which means we could have a real constitutional clash between the president and Congress. Paul Duke, NBC News, at the Senate caucus room.
And NBC News will present a special two-hour program on Watergate this evening, beginning at 9 o'clock, 8 Central Time. It'll be reported by John Chancellor.
Have you ever wished for one product that would clean and shine almost everything in your house? Here it is, Clean and Shine. Like magic, Clean and Shine leaves a nice shine on fine wood furniture, so you don't need furniture polish. It cleans and shines mirrors, so you don't need glass cleaner for mirrors. It cleans and shines refrigerators, like this kitchen product, even countertops, tile, and vinyl. Try new Clean and Shine, the foam that cleans and shines almost everything in your house.
These mosquitoes are ruining this party.
Now, from the makers of Raid, a coil that hates mosquitoes as much as you do. Introducing the Raid Mosquito Coil. It's easy. Just light it, and it works while you play. The coil glows for hours, works like an invisible barrier to repel the mosquitoes. The Raid Mosquito Coil. It hates mosquitoes as much as you do.
There was some political sleight of hand in Argentina today, and the result is that the way has been cleared for Juan Perón to become that country's next president. Today, the current president, Hector Campora, resigned. His resignation will force new elections, and Perón is expected to win easily. None of this was really a surprise. Campora is a follower of Perón who was merely keeping the presidential office warm until Perón returned from his exile in Europe. Perón made a brief prophetic appearance last night for his supporters in front of his home in a suburb of Buenos Aires. Those supporters were well aware of what was going to happen today, and they turned out by the busload to cheer the man who, so late in life, is returning to power in Argentina. Perón is 77 now. His health is not the best, but it's been obvious all along that he intended to return to power, and that President Campora was no more than the caretaker for Perón. Campora resigned today on his 50th day in office. In a nationally televised speech, he said, "I have always had very clear in my conscience the conviction that my election was for no other reason than to restore to General Perón the mandate that was taken from him so unjustly." That, a reference to the military coup that deposed Perón in 1955 after 9 years in office. There will be an election in about 1 month, but that will be only a formality. For all practical purposes, Juan Perón once more runs Argentina. In Cambodia today, there was more fighting in many parts of the country, and there was more American bombing. That bombing is supposed to stop by August 15th, and today the Pentagon said that 15 B-52s based on Guam will be transferred back to the United States. But about 150 other B-52s, which have been used in the Indochina bombing, will remain at their bases on Guam and in Thailand. Next Tuesday was to be the day in which the new Phase 4 economic controls were to be announced. But our correspondent, Irving R. Levine, has learned that the president's illness has made it uncertain when Phase 4 will be announced. The New York Stock Exchange closed out the week today with a sharp drop in prices. Trading was light. The Dow Jones Industrials are off almost 16 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a full share fell 45 cents. On the American exchange, in moderate trading, the average price of a share lost 1 cent. The dollar lost a little bit more of its value today in Europe and in Japan, but still it ended the week stronger than it was on Monday. The decline of the dollar means that Americans are no longer the big spenders whose money made them known and loved in nightclubs and ritzy restaurants across Europe. But now, others have picked up that mantle of responsibility, and that is the subject of David Brinkley's journal from London.
In the European tourist centers, tourists tend to be evaluated on how troublesome they are and on how fast they spend their money. For years, the Germans were thought to be the most troublesome and the Americans the biggest spenders. The Germans were accused of demanding a great deal and refusing to pay much for it. Americans worried about drinking the water and kept ordering steaks, Coca-Cola, and talking too loud, but they spent enough to make up for a few minor sins. But now that is changing. The new phenomenon in tourism is the Japanese. Last year, tourism from America increased by 4%, from Japan, 32%. This year, it's more so. And here in London, the Japanese are everywhere. The dollar is down and the yen is up, and the Japanese spend it the way Americans used to. It is interesting to contemplate the fact that a lot of the money they are spending came from Americans in the first place, from buyers of Japanese radios, cameras, and textiles. Here at Christie's Auction House, an interesting development, in the 19th century, prosperous Englishmen bought shiploads of Oriental treasures for their new estates, furniture, porcelain, art. Well, now the Japanese are buying it back, outbidding even American antique dealers. So the price level has risen and the Japanese helped push it up. They have sold an awful lot of transistor radios. So in the tourist centers, Americans now are being surpassed as the big spenders. One of the tour companies said to us, well, they spend as if they were all Texans. With the sagging of the dollar, Americans are becoming something like poor relations. Well, they're not used to playing that role, but they might enjoy seeing the envy and the resentment turned on the Japanese instead of us, and let them hate somebody else for a while.
One of every three people suffers some symptoms of hemorrhoids, and I've found how several outstanding doctors have obtained successful results with Preparation H. In many cases, Preparation H gives prompt temporary relief from the pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues. Then, Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. There's no other formula like Preparation H. And Preparation H needs no prescription. Doctor-tested Preparation H.
Hi, I'm George Groats. I wrote The Furniture Doctor. Experience has taught me this hope, even for parched, aging finishes like this. Try Old English Lemon. This remarkable new spray lubricates finishes with moisturizing ingredients to bring out a lifelike gleam and glow again. Some difference, huh? Try The Furniture Doctor's prescription. Old English Lemon moisturizes even parched, aging finishes as it shines.
The Senate rejected decisively today a proposal to delay construction of the Alaska pipeline, and the vote was a sharp defeat for environmentalists trying to block construction of the pipeline. They wanted any action postponed pending an 8-month study of a Canadian alternate route. Fire, which has destroyed hundreds of thousands of military records, continued to burn today in the big military personnel record center in suburban St. Louis. The blaze has caused extensive damage, and Rebecca Bell has that story.
For 2 days now, firemen have been pouring thousands of gallons of water a minute on the burning building. Late today, firemen called for special power equipment to cut away parts of the roof. Officials say corners of the concrete roof are buckling, and unless cut away, those areas could collapse on firemen. The top floor of the building, which houses the service records of more than 20 million Army personnel, has sustained the worst damage so far. Officials say records on lower floors have suffered mainly smoke and water damage at this point. The building, where steel beams are now a vivid red with heat, will have to cool off before officials can determine how many documents have been destroyed.
There have been a dozen small fires here in the last 2 years. Officials say arson is being investigated in this latest and most destructive blaze.
Heavy security is enforced, with even police and firemen being checked on entering the area. Officials say firemen will be on the scene until at least Sunday or Monday, watching over the smoldering remains. Rebecca Bell, NBC News, Overland, Missouri.
Senator Henry Jackson's Investigations Committee today reopened its investigation into stock and bond thefts and the role of organized crime in those thefts. Today's witness was Gerald Zalmanowicz, once one of the thieves and now a government informer. Before Zalmanowicz said one word, though, he was given a dramatic introduction by Senator Jackson.
The chair would like to point out that the witness this morning has made a request of the subcommittee, in accordance with the committee's rules of procedure, that he not be directly photographed, either by television or still pictures or artist sketches.
The witness was Gerald Zalmanowicz, a high school dropout and self-taught financial genius who plied his skills for the mafia until he was caught and helped convict underworld gang leader Angelo DiCarlo. Today, Zalmanowicz linked organized crime with some of the largest American financial institutions and the Internal Revenue Service.
I will say that I, at times, gave small tips, bribes, call it what you may, from $50 to $100 to bypass and to immediately give to me, in bulk form, hundreds of certificates signed by the vice presidents of both Chase Manhattan Bank and the First National City Bank of New York, Senator. In addition, certain agents of the Internal Revenue Service were induced by myself with bribes of sums ranging from $500 per week to as high as $1,000 per week over periods of time extending into months.
Those same agents were to show up again when Zalmanowicz sought to clear up his mafia years' tax problems.
Lo and behold, the men who are assigned to review and resolve once and for all this assessment problem were none other than the same individuals whom I have identified as officials whom I have bribed.
Zalmanowicz fears for his life. Mafia leader DiCarlo, whom Zalmanowicz helped put in jail, is free by presidential commutation. The Justice Department had promised Zalmanowicz protection, but he says it has done nothing and even discouraged him from appearing before the committee. Robert Guralski, NBC News, Washington.
Lon Chaney Jr., who made a movie career out of playing monsters, is dead at the age of 67. Friends said today that he died yesterday at his home in San Clemente, California, after a lengthy illness.
Earlier this week in Chicago, an elderly Yugoslav immigrant was robbed of his entire life savings. Jordan Subachevsky had worked long years in Chicago to save up $25,000, and he was about to fly home to Yugoslavia. First, he made the mistake of carrying a gun to protect himself. For that, he spent a night in jail. Then, when the police let him out, he was robbed. Today, though, there was a happy ending to the story, and Bob Jamieson has it.
It was here that Jordan Subachevsky's dream of comfortable retirement in Yugoslavia was shattered. Here, robbers stole his life savings of $25,000.
$13,000 of the money was in traveler's checks. The robbers threw those away in a garbage can where a city worker discovered them and returned them to Subachevsky.
And today, Subachevsky appeared in court to answer charges he unlawfully tried to carry a loaded gun aboard his plane to Europe. Sobachevsky's eyes filled with tears as he heard the prosecutor say the loss of his money was punishment enough, that the charges would not be pressed. Sobachevsky speaks little English, but he tried to find words to express his relief. He had lost $12,000 he worked 16 years to save, and police doubt it will ever be recovered. But he did find friends in the big city of Chicago, two sisters who gave him a place to stay, a policeman who worked night and day on the robbery. People have even been sending him money. Tomorrow, Subachevsky will finally go home to Yugoslavia. Bob Jamieson, NBC News, Chicago.
J. Paul Getty III, grandson of the wealthy old oil man, has been missing in Rome for several days now. His mother said today that she had received an anonymous telephone call yesterday that young Getty had been kidnapped. The caller demanded an unspecified ransom. The boy's mother said she had heard nothing since that one call, and she doesn't think it was a hoax. Roberto Clemente, the great Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder and four other men, died on New Year's Eve in a plane crash in Puerto Rico. Clemente and the others were on their way to Nicaragua with a load of relief supplies for the victims of the earthquake. And today, the National Transportation Safety Board reported that the plane was overloaded by more than 2 tons, that two of its four engines were no good, and that the flight engineer was an unqualified mechanic.
Dr. J.H. Robinson of Creston, Iowa, used to drive a Toyota. Then he traded it in, not for another Toyota, but for a Subaru GL Coupe. He wrote to say,
on our first tank of gas, we got 30 miles to the gallon. We've had other import cars, but Subaru is by far the best. This is truly a great car.
Every day, more and more people trade for a Subaru.
She's 6 years old, and she lives in a beautiful world. I'm her grandmother, and I don't just watch that world, I'm part of it. These are wonderful years, and I'm really enjoying them, because I do the right things to take care of myself. And because I do, I don't forget my Geritol. Geritol every day, so I'm sure I'm getting the iron and 7 vitamins my body needs. Take care of yourself. Take Geritol.
No one has yet been able to figure out exactly what it takes to make a star, much less a television star who can sell things to people. But stars are born every day, and the newest star of television commercials is a 7-year-old boy with red hair. His name is Mason Reese. And he's been a spectacular television salesman for 3 years now, and Betty Rollin has the story of his rise to fame.
You think you are problems making different sandwiches. You ought to be around here with my sister's babies.
This is the face of a star, one of the country's leading commercial spokesmen.
There's a lot you can do with Underwood. It's like having a Borgeshmord.
He's Mason Reese. He's 7 years old. He lives in New York with his family, and he's already won 3 major awards for pushing soap and chicken salad on television. It's not that he's gorgeous, and it's not only that he's smart, although smart he is. It's hard to say exactly what Mason's got, but he's got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, see all the salt's going into my hand? Now, when it doesn't want any salt, and I don't want any salt now. Nobody wants any more. Do you want any? Well, I don't have any. Oh, well, but I think, yes, okay.
Mason likes performing even at home. Right now, he is, as they say, into magic.
Now, we'll wait a couple of minutes, and then we begin to slowly look under the salt shaker, and...
He makes another kind of magic in the studio. This, he knows, is the serious kind.
Take 27. And Mason.
Mothers, kids today need variety in their lunches. The lunches...
Same old sandwiches every day. One more time.
What am I doing wrong?
And Mason.
Mothers, kids need...
Kids today. Take 31.
So I get 32? I'm going to do this right.
And Mason.
Mothers, kids today need variety in their lunches.
Oh, under a TV test, take 46. And...
Mothers.
And mothers.
Mothers, kids today need varieties in their lunches. The same old sandwiches every day just aren't good enough. So try Underwood meat spreads. Like I've been telling you, with Underwood, it's like having a brogish one.
That's good. One more time. One more time.
He's always had what I feel is a kind of a mystical quality about him that has drawn people to him to want to touch. People often comment that they think that he's the soul of a wise man, an older man in the body of a young child. I know that sounds kind of strange, but we see evidences of that ourselves. But we saw that even before he did commercials. And I'm not sure whether that's the quality that comes through on film or not. But that I think there is a mixture of a kind of uniqueness about him, obviously, because he draws such attention and such care from so many people.
How can you describe him? He's,
normal.
Normal.
Words right out of your mouth.
Unique.
Pleasurable.
Pleasurable. Any more suggestions?
No. Cute.
That is true. You are cute.
And that's the news on this Friday night. I'm Garrick Utley. Have a good weekend, and good night for NBC News.
Well, how'd you do today? Gonna be ready for the driving test next week?
Yeah, but there's just one thing, Dad. You know, out on the intersection, Highway 54, one with about 50 million lights on it.
Yeah?
Well, how do you know which light to go by?
Yeah, that is confusing. But I hear they're gonna put in some new kind of lights out there that should really help a lot.
No kidding. Hey, that's weird. Maybe I'll be...
Confusing intersections won't be quite so confusing anymore. Because some people at 3M came up with a better kind of traffic light. It has a special lens, so the red and green will appear to light up only for the lane that's supposed to see them. 3M people are always coming up with better products. Maybe because they know their ideas get listened to. At 3M, when an individual speaks, the company listens. 3M is one place where one voice can still make a difference. 3M Company. People still count here.
Dad, will those lights be in by the time I take my test?
I hope so.
The Senate hearing into the Watergate affair has been in session for 6 weeks. What has transpired and what it all means will be closely examined in Watergate This Week. John Chancellor will host this comprehensive news special tonight at 9, 8 Central Time.